nothing we need more in our souls than to worship the Lord. And I can tell you, based on some conversations that I've had over these past few weeks with those that are not only people in our church, but just some people in the area and Christians in general we've talked to, it seems as if so many are going through a dry season. Have any of you ever experienced that? Just a dry season in your spirit. I had a question a couple of weeks ago as I was talking to somebody who said, it seems as if God is being silent with me. And I thought, you know what, I've been through that too. Any of you ever experienced that? For those of you that have a bulletin, there's an outline of the message there. And I want to take a few minutes and share these thoughts with you because I think it's important. And the title of the message is Staying Strong When God Seems Silent. Staying strong when God seems silent. Rather than reading the text, I'm going to have you turn to it in Psalm 89 and beginning with verse 35. We're going to go through it a little bit this morning, and I'm not going to read it all up front. But let me ask you these questions. Does it feel like a long time since you've heard from the Lord? Does He seem silent while the fulfillment of promises that He once spoke to you remain nowhere in sight? Some of you have had promises that you felt the Lord speak to your life as to what He's going to do in you and through you or for your family, and it may seem like, you know what, it's been a long time since I've heard that promise or felt like it was close to being fulfilled. The question is, how can we remain strong in times when it seems as if God is silent? And perhaps you have started out full of faith. You believe God when He told you, I'm going to bring your family home to me, or I'm going to deliver you, or I'm going to use your life for my glory. And when He first spoke these promises, there were moments of great joy because it was everything that you had longed for and everything that you'd hoped that God would do within your life. You were strong in those moments as you were waiting on that answer to come. But now in the midst of God's silence, you wonder, what happened to the Word of God? What happened to those promises that I felt? For some of you, it may be years ago. For others, it may be more recent. But it seems as if you expected that to take place instantly, and something seems to have happened, and there seems to be silence now. And I want you to understand that you are not the only person that has ever gone through seasons like that. And they may be reoccurring from time to time, but there is something going on when it seems as if God is silent in your life. The psalmist in Psalm chapter 89, beginning with verse 35 through 37, was experiencing a season like this when he wrote these words. Once for all I have sworn by my holiness, and I will not lie to David, that his line will continue forever, and his throne endure before me like the sun. It will be established forever like the moon, the faithful witness of the sky. In other words, he begins this by saying, Lord, this is the promise you gave me. I remember when you spoke this to me. You told me these things were going to happen, and yet when I look at my life right now and I see the things going on, it doesn't even look close to coming true. He moves on in verses 38 and 39. But you have rejected and have spurned, and you've been very angry with your anointed one. You have renounced the covenant with your servant. I want you to understand the power of these words. A covenant was more than just a promise. A covenant was unbreakable. And so in the depth of his sorrow, he's saying, it looks to me like you broke your promise. I'm not afraid to tell you there have been times in my life when I've told God, Lord, from my perspective, it looks like the things that I felt promised I haven't seen. And the psalmist puts this into words. He says, it seems like you're very angry. You've renounced your covenant with your servant, and you've defiled his crown in the dust. And in that day, he looked around at the state of his nation, and all he could see was Israel's demise. And he's wondering, what happened to the promise that you gave to David? In verses 40 through 41, he says, you've broken through all his walls and reduced his strongholds to ruins. All who pass by have plundered him. He has become the scorn of his neighbors. This isn't what it's supposed to look like to be God's people. When I entered into this relationship with you, God, I thought it was going to be from victory unto victory. I thought that there would never be difficult days. Or if there were, I thought that you were going to hold me and surround me, and they wouldn't be as painful as they are. I can't understand all that's going on. It looks as if you have rejected your promises. The psalmist is saying, my confidence is gone. My protection is gone. My hope in tomorrow is in shambles. I feel as if I'm nothing but a reproach when I was supposed to be a testimony. It would be like one who feels today, I'm supposed to be the fragrance of Christ. I'm supposed to be a living testimony of His victory. And yet if people will look at my life and look at my circumstance, there's not a lot that would be attractive to them about Jesus because of the things I'm going through right now. And I sometimes just wonder, when I can barely lift my head up in public, or I go to the grocery store, and although I may try to witness to the clerk, or I should be a witness, I can only bow my head because victory seems to have escaped my life right now. And what I'm experiencing does not seem to be the testimony of the Lord. Oh God, where are Your promises that You once spoke to me? Why does it seem as if everything is crumbling beneath my feet? Am I unaware of some sin in my life that has caused You to withdraw Your hand from me? And I have to tell You something. When in moments like that, aren't you glad that we can come together and we can worship the Lord? There's something uplifting about our spirit. Even when it becomes a sacrifice of praise, and there are times, I want to tell you, even I come to church and it's hard to praise. There's moments when there's so much going on in my mind. There's so much happening, and I'll sit there, and even though the arena or the room is filled with the aroma of the fragrance of the Lord, I feel like I'm caught in a box, and the Lord, I'm going to lift my hands, but I don't feel like it today. You look around and you see others that are worshiping and tears streaming down their face, and you're going, Lord, break my heart like, and I can experience that again because I feel so closed in. He says in verse 42 through 45, you've exalted the right hand of His foes. You've made all of His enemies rejoice. You've turned back the edge of His sword and have not supported Him in battle. You've put an end to His splendor and cast His throne to the ground. You've cut short the days of His youth. You've covered Him with a mantle of shame. That does not sound like an overcoming testimony to me. He's saying, you know, even the things that I previously had victory over seem to be coming back against me. I used to laugh at my enemies, yet now my enemies are starting to laugh at me. I once felt strong in battle, but now my sword has gotten dull, and I can no longer wield it with strength. I feel as if I'm helpless against the attacks of the enemy. And in verses 46 and 47 and 49, how long, O Lord? How long will You hide Yourself? Will You hide Yourself forever? How long will Your wrath burn like fire? Remember how fleeting is my life. For what futility You have created all men. O Lord, where is Your former great love, which in Your faithfulness You swore to David? Have any of you ever prayed like that? O Lord, why am I so dry? Why do I seem that I'm victorious, that I'm without victory? Why does it seem, O Lord Jesus, as if even when I pray and mention Your name, that I don't sense the closeness of the presence of the Lord? You see, the psalmist was dealing with a very real situation. Right before his eyes, the nation which was supposed to be established as a praise of God in the earth was seemingly being overthrown by powers of evil. What the psalmist didn't know is that God sees things we don't see. What the psalmist didn't know, he had no idea that through the line of David that Jesus Christ would be born, and that the church would be established, and God's promises were absolutely true. And they were not to be dependent upon a current situation they were going through. The problem is that we humans have a tendency to see things only through our natural eyes. Now, we know that there's a spiritual world, but honestly, we don't regard it very real because we see things through natural eyes. And oftentimes, things that we perceive to be wrong are only our perception. And in these particular seasons, we must learn to stay strong, even when we feel as if God's voice has become silent. Because God is always up to something. And there are many reasons why God may seem silent, and I'm going to touch on four very quickly and then use the last point to wrap it up before we pray. The first point being this: God has already spoken. God has already spoken. First of all, you must remember that what you hold in your hand is the Word of God to you right now. This is a book that is alive. This is a book that will touch you where you are. This is a book that, because it was inspired by the Holy Spirit and every word of it is absolutely true, it's something that you can take and you can apply. And when you feel as if God's not speaking, then go back to your favorite passages. Go back to those that you've underlined and say, Lord, renew in me the voice of God. Let me hear it again, because I know that your word will never return void. If you think about it, you can't accuse God of being silent when He's left you 66 letters with 1,189 chapters and 31,103 verses. He is speaking! Sometimes we just don't open the love letter. Lord, I wanted something besides that. I want to feel good. Sometimes when I read that, I don't feel good. God has already spoken, and He does not need to repeat Himself for what He has already spoken. In fact, wouldn't it be interesting if in Genesis, at the creation story, God said, let there be light, and then there was a pause and nothing happened, and He repeated it. I said, let there be light. We would wonder about that. Now, if you had been there on that first day of creation, when God said, let there be light, and you had been in the darkness before, and suddenly light begins to show up, you would be running and dancing and jumping at the power of God and His ability to do things and take you out of the darkness and bring you into the light until 6 o'clock in the evening. But now suddenly at 6 o'clock in the evening, that light that had been moving across the sky all day long begins to disappear. And suddenly it would begin to grow dark again, and you would begin to panic and you'd say, oh no, I knew it would never last. Lord, you're just teasing us with this light. You just wanted to show us you could do it, but now you're going to return us to darkness. And it might be that you would spend the next 12 hours crying over God's lack of faithfulness. And then the light reappears. And the sun rises again. You see, when the Lord said, let there be light, He didn't say that there wouldn't be night. When He said, let there be light, He didn't say that there wouldn't be periods of darkness within your life. When He said, let there be light, He didn't say every day was going to be like July the 12th or July the 12th, right? I should have known that before I started down that path. Not every day is going to be this beautiful. That's why we enjoy the nice ones. He didn't say that you'd be able to understand everything that's going on. He says there will be seasons, but you need to know that once He's created light and He's created victory, it will return. The light always reappears, and we see that God, what God spoke, continues to be filled without Him having to speak it again. He has spoken through His Word. Secondly, when it seems as if it's silent, you need to understand that there's an appointed time for fulfillment. Another reason that He may be silent is because the time for what He wants to do and how He wants to bring that fulfillment in your life is not yet there. There's this great story in Genesis that tells us about Joseph as a 17-year-old boy when he started dreaming dreams around his brothers. I laugh at that. Having worked with young people most of my ministry, I can just picture a 17-year-old that has had a dream from God, and he can't wait to go tell his mom and dad and all of his older brothers how they're going to bow down. That is perfect adolescence right there. God spoke to me. You're bowing. What do you think his brothers are going to do? He tells them about the sheaves and how they all bowed down. Then he said, the sun and moon and the star, 11 stars in another dream, they all bowed down to me. What he didn't understand as a 17-year-old was that the promises that God had made had not yet reached its appointed time to be fulfilled. And some of you are living between the promise and the appointed time. Some of you are living in the in-between, and that is a difficult time of in-between. Now, if God had told Joseph the whole story at the very beginning, he probably wouldn't have felt so full of himself. If he'd have known that as a result of that there was going to be the betrayal and the pit and Potiphar and the prison along the way, he might have just kept his big mouth shut. But somewhere in the middle of all of that, from the promise to the fulfillment of it, he had to wait for the appointed time, and there were things that were taking place within his life that prepared him for the fulfillment. Sometimes What seems like the silence of God is a preparation time for us. It's a time when the Lord says, I need you to dig in with me. I need you to prepare for times like this, because you're going to have to be obedient and you're going to have to be faithful even when you don't feel me near. And you have to understand that that's part of the growth of faith, because feelings don't save you. It's faith that saves you. Your faith in God. And sometimes it's your faith that has to carry you through. The Lord has said, I'm going to use your life for my glory. And we forget that the sword is not formed in a hammock. It's formed on the anvil. There's going to be heat in your life, and there's going to be hammering, and there's going to be bending and reshaping. And it's all necessary, and it's all going to take time, so that finally, when the appointed time comes, you are ready because of the things that you've gone through in preparation with the Lord. But in the process of that, we sometimes cry out and say, Lord, I thought you were going to use my life. You made promises. And what I'm going through now doesn't seem like it's leading anywhere. Oh, Jesus, where are you? It seems as if the enemy's getting the upper hand. And the Lord says, just stay faithful, because the appointed time is coming. The prophet Habakkuk in chapter 2, verse 3 says this, for the revelation, or depending on the version of Bible you have, it may say, for the vision awaits an appointed time. It speaks of the end and will not prove false, though it linger. Wait for it. It will certainly come, and it will not delay. That is a verse for somebody here today. You came this morning and you said, Lord, I need something to hang on to this morning. I need to know that you're at work. I need to know that you know what's going on in my life. And I want you to know that that verse the Lord is speaking to you today said, I am at work, and I want you to know that the vision that I gave you, the words of prophecy that I spoke into your life, the things that I have promised you, they are going to come to pass. But you just wait, because when it comes, it's going to be an ending to something. And I'm preparing you for that right now. And I'm not delaying. The things that God speaks will come to pass. If He said He's going to use your life, He is going to use your life. If He has promised you something, you hang on to that, because our God is not a lying God. However, it may be that He is testing you in the way. Thirdly, sometimes it seems as if God is silent because there's spiritual resistance along the way. Now, we know that the Scripture says that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and things in high places. That we understand that there is the scene that we live and the things that we see. And we also understand that behind the curtain of the spiritual, that there is a battle going on that you are vitally involved in. Again, because we see through natural eyes, we don't often see what's taking place there. And there's this great passage of Scripture in Daniel chapter 10, verses 12 through 13, that talks a little bit about that. Daniel had been praying, and he says, do not be afraid, Daniel, since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I have come in response to them. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princesses, came to help me because I was detained with the king of Persia. Now, we always understood that there was spiritual battle. However, I don't think we understood how deep and how hard and how strong it was till we read this. What? The forces of heaven were delayed 21 days because of the fierceness of the battle? Now, we recognize that we serve the highest royalty, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. We understand that every knee will bow before Him. We understand that all powers are subject to Him. But there are times when the enemy is trying to keep you from victory so badly that he will bring out all of the forces to hinder an answer to prayer for you. And sometimes when you're in the middle of the silence of the Lord and you don't know what's going on, it's not because the answer's not coming. It's because the enemy doesn't want you to have the victory. And is doing everything in his power and by his forces to keep you from it. This prayer warrior, Daniel, was in a battle. He's a praying man, and he's praying straight through, Lord, even though I don't feel the victory. It's been 21 days, and I've been praying, oh God. What's happening? He could have quit at day 11. But he kept pressing in, because just because it didn't seem as if God was answering prayer, he knew that prayer was his way to break through the wall. and that ultimately it would come. And what he couldn't see, he couldn't understand. And finally, 21 days, 3 weeks into it, there's this breakthrough. And the angel of the Lord comes and reveals to him and says, "You know what? I heard you on day one. God sent the answer on day one. We've been battling to get through to you. And the more you prayed, the greater strength we had in battle. And we're here today because you never gave up in prayer." It wasn't silence. It was battle that was keeping you from the victory. Because God dispatches what you need the moment you begin to pray. At other times, the hindrance is inside of ourselves. Because sometimes we listen to other voices. And we resist the voice of God. And in our society today, we have access to so many different voices that can easily lead our thoughts astray and thereby make it difficult for us to hear the voice of God. Because God can speak like thunder, but sometimes He speaks with a still small voice. Sometimes in the middle of a crowded place where advice is flying at you from all directions, His voice can be drowned out because you've not grown attuned to listening for it. Sometimes He's silent because we have quit listening for His voice. We must be careful about who and what we're listening to. As Paul exhorted the Philippians, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think on these things." Don't listen to the voices out there that will try to draw you away. We heard it this morning. Through what I believe were two messages of the Holy Spirit that fit together well. Abide in Him. Abide in Him. He's the lover of our soul. And as you abide in Him, then you'll be close enough to hear when He whispers to your spirit. Fourthly, sometimes God may be silent because He's using silence to get your attention. God often uses silence, I believe, to get our attention because we're too busy. We're thinking too much going forward and we're going too fast and suddenly He draws back. I can't remember when it was this winter, but we talked about the personality of the Holy Spirit. That though He dwells within us from the moment that we are saved and we are temples of the Holy Spirit, there are places that we take that temple the Holy Spirit is uncomfortable going. There are things that we allow into our life and into our mind and into our body and activities that we may enter into that the Holy Spirit is uncomfortable with. And the Holy Spirit is not going to give you that good feeling inside when you enter those places. He's going to draw back and become silent. So sometimes silence is given to us for the purpose of reevaluating things. And let me tell you something. God's silence is not His absence. You need to understand the difference. God's silence is not His absence. Sometimes He simply says, "I'm just going to wait till you run out of gas. I'm going to wait till you finally get so exasperated and so down and you just run yourself till there's nothing left that there'll be nothing else for you to do except go to your prayer closet. And then when there's nothing left of you, you'll finally say, 'Lord, would you speak to me once again?'" Sometimes in our emotions, when they're flooding our soul, we feel the absence of His presence, and we can convince our frightened hearts with the truth of Psalm 139, verses 7 and then 9 through 12. And it says, "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me and your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, 'Surely the darkness will hide me and the light become night around me,' even the darkness will not be dark to you." In other words, just because He's silent doesn't mean He's gone. There's no place that you can go that you can escape the presence of God. But sometimes His silence gives us an opportunity. Sometimes His silence demands that we begin to reflect upon ourselves. Because in silence we begin to think deep thoughts. There's this new show that's been on one of the adventure channels called Alone, where they dropped 10 men off all by themselves. They had to film themselves on the coast of northern Canada somewhere. My kind of show. And whoever lasts the longest by themselves wins $500,000. And so these 10 men, all of them are experts in wilderness, and They've dropped them off, and after 5 days, there's only six left. Because there's something about isolation. But I was watching it last week as the men were sitting there, and they apparently take the camera and they begin to express what they're thinking and feeling. And of the six that are still left, every one of them was talking about, in this isolation and in this silence of everything going on here, I begin to reevaluate what's really important in my life. And I can't wait to get back home and to be with my family and these things. And I thought, you know what? Sometimes silence does that in the spirit for us. That in those times of silence, we begin to reevaluate and say, Lord, I can't wait to get back close to you again. Because in this isolation, I've become very inward in my thinking. And as I look at my life, I begin to see that there are some things that I need to do to make right some issues with you. I've not been faithful to you, Lord, in these things. And as I'm sitting here all by myself with no time to do anything else but think, I'm thinking about all the promises I made to you that I've not been fulfilling. I've been blaming you for some things, but some of it's on me, Lord. And I want to return. And I want to be restored. So sometimes God uses silence for us to reevaluate our path and purpose in Him. Whenever it seems there's silence, there's always a purpose for it. And in conclusion, encourage yourself in the Lord today. We saw in our opening scripture that David had been given a clear promise from the Lord of his life and what it would look like, that it would produce royalty and it would be established forever. And we look at his journey and we see David, that he certainly started out strong. We know that the Holy Spirit came upon him and it caused him to defeat the lion and the bear and eventually the Philistine giant. It seemed as if there was no end to what God was going to do through his life until the moment of silence came. And suddenly God was not speaking the way he used to, and David began to lose confidence in himself and in his relationship with God. And he lost confidence in God's former words to him, and he lost confidence in the promise of God, which led him to start walking in his own reasoning. That's a dangerous path, by the way, to question God and then start walking in your own reasoning. He attempted to guide his own life by his own wisdom and resolve his own problems and in his own strength, and you can read all about that in 1 Samuel chapter 27. But when David finally came to the end of himself, recognized that following his own reasoning only brought him so far and it only led him and others into sorrow, he returned to the source of his strength. And in 1 Samuel chapter 30, verse 6, at the end of verse 6, it says this: David found strength in the Lord, or David encouraged himself in the Lord. I've often used this term and said, the best preacher you'll ever have in your life is yourself when the Holy Spirit's speaking through you. Sometimes you need to preach to yourself. Sometimes there's things that you can say to yourself that you'll get really mad if others say to you. But when you say it to yourself, when you know deep down in your heart it's true, all you can do is humble yourself before the Lord. And at the end of it, David recalled how faithful God has always been to him. Don't ever forget how faithful God is to you. At that moment, he returned back to prayer. The voice of God became clear again, and the Lord eventually brought him into the victory that he had always been promised. And this serves as a reminder to us that maybe in the midst of God's silence, you must resist the temptation to try to make the promise happen on your own. Sometimes we say, Lord, you're not speaking, so maybe I did something wrong, so I'm just going to make this. I'm going to manipulate the details of my life until I make this happen, and then I'll say, hey, everybody, it was God's promise, but you really didn't follow God's way. How does that work out? Well, ask Abraham and Hagar how that works out. We're still dealing with the fallout of disobedience today because nations existed that it would be completely different if people had just obeyed, if Abraham had just waited and obeyed. So encourage yourself in the Lord. Sometimes you need to sit down with yourself when no one's around. Say, God, I may have sensed that you've been silent, but I know that you still speak. I know that you've given me your word. I understand that there is an appointed time for everything to be fulfilled. I know that the answer is coming. And even though it may seem for a season that your promises have been overpowered by circumstances, you are a God that cannot lie. And I will stand on the truth of your word, and I'll hold on to what I know is going to be there in the end. You stay strong in God. when he seems to be silent, for the victory is still yours. It's not been taken away from you. You've not been cut off from the presence of God, and God's promises that he prescribed for your life are still well and on the way to being fulfilled. This is just a time for you to grow. You say, well, Pastor, let me ask worship team, please prepare to come. Pastor, what if I've made some mistakes in my life as a result of that? I want you to know God's plan is not derailed completely because of your mistakes. Look what he did in the life of David. He continued to fulfill his promises in David's life. After the season of silence, the difficulty, the darkness, the confusion, David wrote these words. And I think it's so neat to see. And for those of you that are great at learning from the experiences of other people's lives, David is one of those great ones. There's two ways that you can learn. You know, you can learn by having to go through the experience yourself, or you can learn by listening to the experiences of others. One is wise, one... And as you look at the life of David, after he's gone through these times, he says this, O Lord, when you favored me, you made my mountain stand firm, and when you hid your face, I was dismayed. To you, O Lord, I called to the Lord, and I cried for mercy. David was saying, there was a time in my life when I felt like you were hiding your face from me. I felt like I was all alone. I felt like you were no longer there with me. And in the natural, all he could see was destruction. But in Psalm 30, verses 11, 12, he says this, you turned my wailing into dancing. You removed my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, that my heart may sing to you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give you thanks forever. Do you see the difference in attitude? Lord, it was a hard time. Hallelujah, I'm through it. I followed your instructions. I'm seeing the victory now. And I just want you to know, Lord, that when I was crying back there, I'm sorry, because I am dancing now and I'm rejoicing now. Church, you need to understand, victory is on the way because our God is victorious. And he said that he would stand with you. I'd like you to stand with me, please. We were singing a song before I began to minister this morning. There was a spirit of worship taking place. We're going to do that again. Because it's a spirit of worship that begins to break down the chains that allows your soul to feel isolated. It's entering into those times and saying, Lord, here I am. I may not feel you close, but I'm not going to rely on my feelings. I'm seeking something much deeper than that. I'm walking by faith. I'm believing that you're with me. I know that you're strong when I'm weak. And so, Lord, I'm going to enter in. I'm going to break the chains of bondage that I may be feeling so that I can experience the joy of the victory that you've promised to me. Now, let me ask you this. How many of you this morning feel like you're in a waiting period? Feel like you're between the promise and the fulfillment? I'd say about half of you. How many of you have experienced silence in your spirit, dryness in your soul? How many have also been Christians long enough to know that it's just a season and you've experienced the dancing and the joy on the other end of that? Hallelujah! The Lord said, let there be light. And there was 12 straight hours. And then the sun set and came up against the next day. There's going to be seasons, folks. There's seasons. But we will not be dismayed just because it seems as if God is silent because he's up to something. What I'm going to ask you to do this morning is this. I'm going to ask that if you're in one of those seasons of waiting, if you would just step out and come. And I believe in the altar. And by the altar, I'm talking about just the place here in the front. That there's something about responding that does something in our hearts. There's some people say, I'm really uncomfortable coming up there. And if that's the case, stay where you're at. But there's something about responding. I'm going to come, Lord. And I want us to come and I want us to just stand here. And we're going to drink in of the presence of the Lord for a few minutes. And we're just going to begin to unburden our souls. And if it's been a time of silence, maybe somebody rejoicing next to you will be what breaks the chain in your heart. But as we begin to sing, I'm going to ask you, just begin to step out. Let's come and let's find a place just to stand in the presence of the Lord. It's still early. We've got time for the things which are eternal. We've got time. Won't you come? Won't you come? Let's find a place just to stand in the presence of the Lord.